Welcome to day 12 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to Genesis, reading chapters 34 to 36. The Rape of Dinah. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to visit the daughters of the region. When Shechem, son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the region, saw her, he seized her and lay with her by force. And his soul was drawn to Dinah's daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. So Shechem spoke to his father Hamor, saying, "Go, get me this girl to be my wife." Now Jacob heard that Shechem had defiled his daughter Dinah, but his sons were with his cattle in the field, so Jacob held his peace until they came. And Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to speak with him, just as the sons of Jacob came in from the field. When they heard of it, the men were indignant and very angry, because he had committed an outrage in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, for such a thing ought not to be done. But Hamor spoke with them, saying, "The heart of my son Shechem longs for your daughter. Please give her to him in marriage. Make marriages with us, give your daughters to us, and take our daughters for yourselves. You shall live with us, and the land shall be open to you. Live and trade in it, and get property in it." Shechem also said to her father and to her brothers, "Let me find favor with you, and whatever you say to me, I will give. Put the marriage present and gift as high as you like, and I will give whatever you ask me. Only give to the young woman to be my wife." The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and his father Hamor deceitfully, because he had defiled their sister Dinah. They said to them, "We cannot do this thing to give our sister to one who is uncircumcised, so for that would be a disgrace to us. Only on this condition we will consent to you, that you will become as we are, and every male among you be circumcised. Then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters for ourselves, and we will live among you and become one people. But if you will not listen to us and be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and be gone." Their words pleased Hamor and Hamor's son Shechem, and the young man did not delay to do the thing, because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter. Now he was the most honored of all his family. So Hamor and his son Shechem came to the gate of their city and spoke to the men of their city, saying, "These people are friendly with us. Let them live in the land and trade in it, for the land is large enough for them. Let us take their daughters in marriage, and let us give them our daughters. Only on this condition will they agree to live among us, to become one people, that every male among us to be circumcised as they are circumcised. Will not their livestock, their property, and all their animals be ours? Only let us agree to them, and they will live among us." And all who went out of the city heeded Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male was circumcised, all who went out of the gate of his city. Dinah's brothers avenged their sister. On the third day, when they were in pain, two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and came against the city unawares and killed all the males. They killed Hamor and his son Shechem with the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went away. And the other son, Jacob, came upon the slain and plundered the city, because their sister had been defiled. They took their flocks and their herds, their donkeys, and whatever was in the city and in the field. All their wealth, all their little ones and their wives, all that was in the houses, they captured and made their prey. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making me odious to the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. My numbers are few, and if they gather themselves against me and attack me, I shall be destroyed, both I and my household." But they said, "Should our sister be treated like a prostitute?" Jacob returns to Bethel. God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and settle there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you and when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, that I may make an altar there to the God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and the rings that were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak that was near Shechem. As they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities all around them so that no one pursued them. Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And there he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried under an oak below Bethel. So it was called Allon Bechuth. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram, and he blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. No longer shall you be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." So he was called Israel. God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall spring from you. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you." Then God went up from him at the place where he had spoken with him. Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the place where God had spoken him with him Bethel. Birth of Benjamin and the death of Rachel. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel was in childbirth, and she had hard labor. When she was in her hard labor, the midwife said to her, "Do not be afraid, for now you have another son." As her soul was departing, for she was dying, she named him Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died, and she was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a pillar at her grave. It is the pillar of Rachel's tomb, which is there to this day. Israel joined on and pitched his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. While Israel lived in that land, Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's maid, Dan and Naphtali. The son of Zilpah, Leah's maid, Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob who were born to him in Paddan Aram. The death of Isaac. Jacob came to his father Isaac at Mamre or Kiriathbar, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had resided as aliens. Now the days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac breathed his last. He died and was gathered to his people, old, full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Esau's descendants. These are the descendants of Esau, that is Edom. Esau took his wives from the Canaanites, Adah, daughter of Elon the Hittite, Alah Labama, daughter of Anah, son of Zibeon the Hivite, and Basemath, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebaioth. Adah bore Elizabeth to Esau, Basemath bore Rahul, and Oholibamah bore Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau who were born to him in the land of Canaan. Then Esau took his wives, his sons, his daughters, and all the members of his household, his cattle, all his livestock, and all the property he had acquired in the land of Canaan, and he moved to a land some distance from his brother Jacob. For their possessions were too great for them to live together. The land where they were staying could not support them because of their livestock. So Esau settled in the hill country of Seir. Esau is Edom. These are the descendants of Esau, ancestor of Edomites in the hill country of Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Elipaz, the son of Ada, the wife of Esau, Reuel, the son of Esau's wife, Basemath. The sons of Elipaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Getam, Kenaz. Timnah was the concubine of Eliphaz, Esau's son. She bore Amalek to Eliphaz. These were the sons of Ada, Esau's wife. These were the sons of Reuel, Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These were the sons of Basemath, Esau's wife. These were the sons of Esau's wife, Oholibamah, daughter of Anah, son of Zibeon. She bore Esau, Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. Clans and kings of Edom. These are the clans and the sons of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, the sons Teman, Omar, Zepho, Kenaz, Korah, Gatam, and Amalek. These are the clans of Eliphaz in the land of Edom. These are the sons of Adah. These are the sons of Esau's sons, Reuel, the clan of Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. These are the clans of Reuel in the land of Edom. They are the sons of Esau's wife, Basemath. These are the sons of Esau's wife, Oholibamah, the clan Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These are the clans born of Esau's wife, Oholibamah, the daughters of Anah. These are the sons of Esau, that is Edom, and these are their clans. These are the sons of Sire the Horite, the inhabitants of the land, Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishon, Azer, and Dishon. These are the clans of the Horites, the sons of Seir, in the land of Edom. The sons of Lotan were Hori and Hemah, and Lotan's sister was Timnah. These are the sons of Shobal, Alvan, Manahath, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. These are the sons of Zibeon, Aiah, and Anah. He is the Anah who found the springs in the wilderness as he pastured the donkeys of his father Zibeon. These are the children of Anah, Dishon and Oholibamah, daughter of Anah. These are the sons of Dishon, Hemah, Eshban, Ithran, and Kanaan. These are the sons of Ezer, Bilna, Zavan, and Akan. These are the sons of Dishon, Uz, and Aran. These are the clans of the Horites, the clans Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anah, Dishon, Ezer, and Dishon. These are the clans of the Horites, clan by clan, in the land of Seir. These are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before any king reigned over the Israelites. Bela, son of Beor, reigned in Edom, the name of the city being Dinhabah. Bela died, and Jobab, son of Zeron and Bozrah, succeeded him as king. Jobab died, and Husham of the land of the Temanites succeeded him as king. Husham died, and Hadad, son of Bedad, who defeated Midian in the county of Moab, succeeded him as king, the name of his city being Avith. Hadad died, and Hamla of Masrekah succeeded him as king. Samla died, and Sheol of Rehoboth on the Euphrates succeeded him as king. Sheol died, and Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, succeeded him as king. Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, died, and Hadar succeeded him as king, the name of his city being Pau. His name, wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, daughter of Mizah. These are the names of the clans of Esau, according to their families and their localities by their names. The clans Timnah, Alva, Jetheth, Oholibamah, Ala, Pinon, Kenaz, Taman, Mibzar, Magdiel, and Imran. These are the clans of Edom, that is Esau, the father of Edom, according to their settlements in the land that they held. What did you notice as you listened to chapters 34 to 36 of Genesis? The rape of Dinah is yet another story of how we as humans disregard the divine in one another. We fail to treat others and their needs as holy. The motivation between the act is economic, seeing Dinah and the daughters of Jacob as a way to possess Jacob's wealth. Hamar and Shechem tell of their motivation when they say to the men of their city, "These people are friendly with us. Let them live in the land and trade in it, for the land is large enough for them. Will not their livestock, their property, and their animals be ours?" Perhaps these are warnings of how we become separated from the will of God and move further from God's kingdom. How can we each strive to treat others and their needs as holy? Now let's move to Mark 6 through 8. The rejection of Jesus at Nazareth. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. The mission of the 12. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The death of John the Baptist. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah," and others said, "It is a prophet like the one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he had heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his couriers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with order to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Feeding the 5,000. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure to even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As they went ashore, they saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then they ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups and on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds of fif and of 50s. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And he ate, and they were filled. And they took up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. Jesus walks on the water. Immediately he made his disciples to get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to them, he went up on the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea and he was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Healing the sick and Gennesaret. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to where they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The tradition of the elders. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandments of God and hold to human tradition." Then he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandments of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever speaks evil of father or mother surely must die. But you say that if anyone tells father or mother, 'Whatever support you may have from me is korban,' that is, an offering to God, then you no longer permit doing anything for a father or mother, thus nullifying the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on. And you do many things like this." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile." When he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, "So you are also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart but the stomach and goes out into the sewer?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "It is from what comes out of a person that defiles, for it is within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, debauchery, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Syrophoenician woman's faith. From there he set out and went to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had been unclean, who had an unclean spirit, immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And when she went home, she found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Jesus cures a deaf man. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought him to a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be open." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Feeding the 4,000. In those days, when there was again a great crowd without anything to eat, he called his disciples and said to them, "I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance." His disciples replied, "How can one feed these people with bread here in the desert?" He asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and after giving thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They also had a few small fish, and after blessing them, he ordered that these too should be distributed. They ate and were filled, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. Now there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. And immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. The demand for a sign. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, asking him for a sign from heaven to test him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, "Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat, again he went across to the other side. The yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. Now the disciples had forgotten to bring any bread, and they had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod." They said to one another, "It is because we have no bread." And becoming aware of it, Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? Do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect?" They said to him, 7. Then he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Jesus cures a blind man at Bethsaida. They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." Peter's declaration about Jesus. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah," and he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? In some ways, we move through Matthew's narrative more quickly with greater brevity in Mark. Yet there are parts in which Mark slows down and provides greater details. We hear more about the context in which John the Baptist is beheaded. As you listened, are there new details that you focus on? In the story of Jesus walking on water, it is stated that he intended to pass them by. Yet when Jesus recognizes the people's fear, he says, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Is it that fear leads to the hardening of our hearts? Do you find that it is fear that leads you to rush to judgment or fail to recognize the perspective of others? When people respond with hope and faith rather than fear, they are healed. Let us end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done, as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.